This morning, I will be reading Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Good morning. Thankful to Jameson this morning for reading our scripture. And tell y'all what, that boy came up here to lead the song when the children were given, and I thought, hey, that ain't calling. That boy is getting tall. Well, good morning. Grateful to have all our visitors here today. I see a lot of them. I'm especially happy to have my family here with me today, our family. Good to see them, and good to have all of you here today and the church with us. It's a good morning. This is a tough week. I had a bit of a scary time there, and I think more so than maybe even other Sunday mornings, I'm thankful this morning for the Lord's blessings. Lord answered quite a few prayers this week. He preserved most of our town and our church building, and more importantly, preserved so many of our lives. And it's just a week to remember how generous and kind God is. I'm thankful that all those storms went a lot different than I thought they were going to go Wednesday morning when that started. And thankful that God hears and answers prayers. That being said, we're going to get into our lesson this morning. Just to let y'all know, I will not be here next Sunday. Gary is going to be filling in for me, and I'm going on a little bit of a vacation. Going to take a little time to rest and recharge, but we're going to continue 2 weeks from today in our series on John and our series in Exodus on Sunday nights. But this morning we're gonna get into the first chapter of John. Last week we talked about the who, what, when, where, and why of the book of John. We needed to get the context before we could get into the actual book. We talked about how John the apostle wrote in Ephesus, most likely around 85 AD. To an Ephesian church that was facing three large problems. They were dealing with persecution from Gentiles. They were being completely rejected by the Jewish people, being put out of the synagogues. And they were dealing with division inside of the church. With these three great problems and most of the apostles having died at this point, John writes this book. And he writes it as a form of encouragement. The Gospel of John is a pep talk. It's a piece of what they call epideictic rhetoric, which is a fancy word, which really just means a speech of encouragement. It's meant to strengthen the beliefs that you had when you started reading it, to take that seed of faith in your heart and to help it grow bigger and stronger, to take the light that Jesus describes his followers as having and add some fuel to it, to help it burn brighter in a dark time. This is the book of John's purpose. It's like a pair of glasses. You know, it doesn't give you the ability to see, but it greatly improves the vision that you have. It's a book written to amplify your faith. That's at least what I believe it's supposed to do. And if we had the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, we're left with one really important question. And this is the question we're going to focus on for the rest of our series. How? How does the book of John strengthen our faith? In what ways does it do that? And I think the best way to examine that, how it helps us as Christians to strengthen our faith and our love and our conviction about Jesus, is to go in and start reading it. So if you would turn with me to the book of John, we're going to, we're going to begin in chapter 1, there we go, verses 1 through 5. So chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 of the book of John say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Well, man, that's not a bad start right there. That's this amazing, poetic, beautiful opening line of the book of John. Every time I read it, it just hits me. John is all about symbolism. He's a writer that loves to paint a picture with his words, and he does that here in chapter 1 in the beginning. He gives us this echo of the first few sentences of the Bible. In Genesis, it says, "In the beginning." He's trying to help us look at the creation with new eyes. Genesis begins with, "In the beginning, God." And John adds to that, he says, it's not just God, but in the beginning, the Word. What is that? What does the Word mean here? You know, for me, that's the first question I asked when I was reading this. In the Old Testament, Word meant both the things that you said and the things that you did. And many scholars believe that John is using this term referring back to that Old Testament usage. When it comes to creation, God said it and it happened. It's both his word and his deed. We see this happening several times in the book of John with Jesus as well. He tells dead Lazarus, "Come out," and Lazarus does. He tells the lame man, "Walk," and he can. It's this idea of message and power. That's what the word is. It's the message and the power of God. From the very beginning of creation, the three-in-one God has been speaking things and acting. And he's done all this for a purpose. The Word, or the Logos in Greek, Jesus Christ as we know him, is the part of God that seems to embody those words and deeds. God spoke and says Jesus created. All things were made by him. Everything was made through this divine word and deed. In Jesus, God's Son and his equal, God himself, was life. And that life was and is and always will be the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. It can't overcome it. And it's here that we hit the first major idea of the book of John. How does John inspire us? How does it strengthen us as Christians? That was our starting question. Well, he does that by first giving us a different way to look at the world. You know, in the beginning was darkness. The three-part God was there. But go read Genesis 1. It's darkness and deep. That's what's described to us. And John tells us that in that darkness, the Word, Jesus, was the source of the light and the life that entered our world. All that is good and great, the light of men. Notice how he plays with tenses in verses 4 and 5. There's a really important, interesting little twist between verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 1. In verse 4, he says he was life, and that life was the light of men. So from the beginning of time, Jesus has shone brightly. John is saying, look back through that Old Testament story. See how God's never left mankind. He's never abandoned us or left us without words of hope and guidance, without light. That's who God is. That's his mission. And Jesus has always been a key part of that. It's not something new. He's always been shining on us. But not only did he shine in the past, he was life and he was the light of men. But then in verse 5, John tells us he still is. He says the light shines in the darkness. Not shined, but shines. And the darkness still has not overcome it. Not only did he shine as a light in the past, John tells us that he still shines. He blazes. It ain't a candle, it's a bonfire. That's the idea John is trying to tell us here. John is beginning his book with a shocking fact. Christ has always been and will always be shining. He is victorious and unbeatable. He is trying to give us some perspective on the world. That's what John's trying to do. It's like this, you know, I know Jesus died for me. I know that God has a plan for all of human history that led to my salvation, and that Jesus worked alongside him accomplishing that great plan and that great victory. But there's one problem. And to tell you about that problem, I want to tell you about something else. I bought something, a few weeks ago. I'm going to show it to you this morning. It's a sleep mask. Really useful. If you have problems sleeping, you put this thing on, and I tell y'all what, I can't see a thing. It is as dark as could be in this room. Ain't a bit of light. I'm completely and totally blind. This thing's great because I have problems sleeping if there's any lights on in the room. But with this thing on, it's like there ain't nothing in there. It's as dark as possible. But the reality is, my perception is flawed. Just because I got a mask on don't mean the room is dark. We got light all in this room, sun shining outside, pulpit lights are blazing down on me. It's so bright in here, it's hot. The problem that we have in this world is that Satan loves to sneak a blindfold over our eyes spiritually, to leave us in complete darkness, to see this life as dark and cold and scary and empty and not a single thing in the world worth rejoicing over. I told you all last week how this gospel, it's a memorial speech, it's a pep talk, its whole purpose is to strengthen your beliefs, to give you courage and strength. And John's trying to do that here. He begins this book through inspiration with an extremely clear statement about the world. In Greek, it's even more clear. That word shines is my favorite Greek word. It's phine, it's present active indicative. It means that something that happened in the past, Jesus shined in the past, but still is continually happening. John wanted to make sure that he began his gospel by taking that blindfold the devil loves to put over our eyes and just ripping it off. This world is filled with light. That's the truth. The devil doesn't want you to see that. He don't want you to know that. But the world is filled with light. The world has changed. It's filled with people made new, powerless on our own, but powerfully filled with the Spirit. A Spirit that is fighting back against the devil. The light we have, it comes from Jesus, who according to verse 9, came to give light to everyone. All of us who choose to follow him. Don't forget this. And don't believe that lie the devil tries to throw at you. That there ain't nothing good in this world, that it's hopeless. John tells us, no, it could not be farther from the truth. In him is light. That light was the life of men. Why does John focus on how the light shines? You know, Satan is pretty successful sometimes at putting that blindfold on most of us, even those who know God. I think it's interesting that in John 6 through 8, we even see John the Baptist is trying to help fight against this idea of darkness. It says, there was a man sent from God, starting in verse 6, whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This idea that people aren't seeing the light. It's right there, but it's like they got that sleep mask on their eyes. You know, it might as well be as bright as could be in the room, but they can't see it. It's a major theme of this whole gospel. This is going to happen several times in John, that people can have Jesus right there and listen to him speak and not see him at all. This is what John the Baptist is coming to fight against. This is what Jesus is coming to help people change in their life. Jesus' biggest job was just helping people to see him. Let's finish up the last part of this prologue. Here we go. In verses 9 through 14 of John chapter 1. It says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's break down this last part of this prologue. John expands a bit and makes it clear what this light and this word is. I've been talking about it, but here's where he really just tells us. It's Jesus. It's a light capable of shining on everyone, a light that's become flesh. Yet the world he made did not see him. He came to his own people, and they did not see him either. But here's the powerful thing. If we can see him, if we can see that light and remember it in our lives, then we can become children of God. The Word became flesh and did dwell with mankind. There's a powerful story in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. The disciples see Jesus walking on the water during a storm. And they're shocked. And Peter, being Peter, sees Jesus walking out on that water and says, "Hey, Lord, call out to me. Let me come to you." Gets out of the boat, steps onto the water, and walks on water. It's an awesome, awesome moment. And for just a few moments, Peter's faith is as solid as a slab of concrete. I mean, you just can't shake him. The man is brave enough to get out of this boat and walk right to Jesus in the middle of this storm. He sees Jesus. He don't care about the rest of it. And then he doesn't. He doesn't see Jesus. He sees the wind. He takes his eyes off of Jesus for a moment. He begins to sink. And that faith that was so solid just crumbles in a moment. But you know what I love about that story? He doesn't sink very far. From what we can tell, Jesus saves him. Even though he takes his eyes off of him, even though he is afraid, Jesus saves him. Satan's favorite game is to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus. To hit us with some struggle, some obstacle that we don't know how we're going to overcome. John reminds us that that blindfold is a lie. Jesus is there with us, even if we don't realize it. The Jewish leaders didn't see him for who he was. That didn't slow him down. Peter panicked and turned his eyes off of him, but that didn't make Jesus any less gracious and loving and kind. He still helped Peter. As Christians, our greatest danger is not that Jesus isn't going to save us when we need him. He's always going to be there when we need him. He's always there with his people, saving us even when our faith falters a bit. When we get worried and when we're afraid, our greatest danger is that sometimes we get so caught up in our storms that we walk away from him. We see nothing but the darkness, and we just shut our eyes against the light. John begins his gospel by doing his best to just open up our eyes, to help us see reality for what it is, to remind us as Christians what the world looks like. There's some darkness out there, but there is a blazing light in the middle of it that's better than we could ever ask to see. There's a Savior that's full of life and light, the true Word of God. And John reminds us that Jesus' life is the great climax of the story of history. The moment that things were decided. It's like when you're reading a really good book and the bad guy's defeated. You got some book left, usually, at that point. But you know where you want to know where all the characters are going to end up. But one thing you know when the bad guy's defeated and things are done is that there's no conflict left. You know, the ring has fallen into Mount Doom. Harry has defeated Voldemort. Luke has destroyed the Death Star. There might still be some issues left to resolve, but the struggle, the big one, is done. The battle is over. There are things that we're going to face in this world, but the greatest and hardest battle Jesus has already won. The devil is defeated. And despite how much he tries to make you not see that, evil has lost. The light has won, and the church is a victory march. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. This morning, I want to ask you to think about your life. Maybe close your eyes for a moment and ask yourself honestly, You know, do I have hope? Do I have any hope in this world? Is there something good in this world? Does God love me? I want you to ask yourself those three questions today. Ask yourself those three questions this week. And hopefully your answer to all three of those is yes. I've got hope. Yes, there's something great in this world. And yes, God does love me. John would say yes, I think. But maybe it isn't. Maybe that's not your answer. Maybe you feel like Peter, who is sinking into the sea, like the father whose child needed healing and said, "Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief." That's okay if that's where you are. That is understandable. The devil is tenacious and he is on us. But if that's where you are, I hope you'll come forward this morning and let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. I hope you'll spend some time this week talking to God about those feelings and about that struggle. Because I want you to be able to see that light if you can. This world can be tough, tough, tough. But we can get through it with Jesus. We can get our focus back on Him. We can build back up that faith together. That's what the book of John is really all about. It's about picking you up when you've fallen down. Giving strength to a faith in a time of struggle. If you have a need this morning, if there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Songbook, turn with me to number 578. 578. We'll sing this one, then be dismissed in prayer. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the King of Kings.